Well, John was filled with the Spirit for that particular purpose. There were other men who were filled with the Holy Spirit for other particular ministries. In the New Testament, the same thing is true. That we are filled with the Holy Spirit for particular things, particular jobs. You may be filled for a few minutes and get the job over and then not be filled any longer. But still walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Still live the normal Christian life. Now, this is very important in the overall picture of the Christian life, because there are a lot of people today who are doing all kind of things as far as the filling of the Spirit, or saying all kind of things as far as the filling of the Spirit is concerned, and doing all kind of things too as far as that's concerned, in the name of being filled with the Spirit. Well, it's not something that you have to seek for. It is a command. He does command them to be filled with the Spirit. And if you'll notice, it's filled in the Spirit, not with the Spirit. I believe the New American Standard puts it that way. Or it should, anyway. Be not drunk with wine where it excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk as the heathen are. You see, the heathen had to get on, as we tried to point out 2 weeks ago, they had to get on highs. They had to drink a lot so that they could release themselves and so that they could commune with their God. You see, their God was way up there somewhere, and they had to get up there or get out of themselves so they could commune with them. Well, we have people who are trying to do the same thing today. They use drugs and they use drink, the same thing, to do this. In fact, that's what they're telling you. They're trying to get on a high, I believe they call it. Now, I've never been on a high like that. I've never taken any drugs, not even the stick. I've never taken things wrong in R.C. Cola. But I do know what it's like to be here. You don't have to take those things to do it. You can understand God, and you can tell people God, and you can know God. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, what does he say here? You see, if you have a man in the Bible, the verse does not stop with verse 18. That's right in the middle of the sentence, isn't it? So when we are filled with the Spirit, we do what? We speak with yourselves, literally, not to yourselves, but with yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, if you'll notice, there are four different things that you are to do when you're filled with the Spirit that he's talking about here specifically. One is speaking to yourself, with yourselves, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then the second thing is singing and making melody. That's the second thing. And the third thing is giving thanks. And the fourth thing is what? Submit. Okay, verse 21. Now, let's look at this and see exactly what he is saying. He says, speaking with yourselves in psalms. Now, what is a psalm? The word psalm actually means a twanging. It's a twanging as a sound of a harp. You know, when you... Have you ever heard a harp being played? Well, have you ever heard of a guitar? You ever heard of a guitar? Okay, it makes sort of a whangy sound, doesn't it? When you pluck the thing, it makes a whangy sound. Well, that's what a psalm was. It was a lyric. It was a lyric that was sung with a harp. Now, the great psalmist was who? David. That wasn't very hard, was it? We have, I guess it's the biggest book in our Bible, is filled with psalms. And most of them were written and sung by a man named David. Now, he had a lot of time to write. If you remember, you who were here last Sunday morning, you remember J.B. was talking about David. Now, he had a lot of time on his hands. Why? He was running. He spent a lot of his time out in the fields at night with the sheep and in the daytime with the sheep and just making sure that they didn't go astray or didn't get away from the flock and making sure that they had something to eat. And once they had something to eat and something to drink, then he had a lot of time on his hands, and so he would sit down and write psalms. And he would get his little guitar out, a glorified guitar, whatever you want to call it, and he would begin to sing these things. Now, apparently David had a tremendous voice. There's no doubt about this because he sang before King Saul, if you remember. And he sang in a way that he could calm old Saul down. And this is a psalm. And so when people are filled with the Spirit, they can speak to themselves in psalms. Now, I would like for us to turn and look at a psalm or two. Turn to Psalms chapter 7. It's right in the middle of your Bible if you have problems finding the Psalms. If you'll just turn right square in the middle, you'll end up in Psalms somewhere. Now notice he says, in verse 17, Psalm 7, 17. He says, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praises to the name of the Lord Most High. David here says, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness. He's sitting out there in the field somewhere. And he has been writing this seventh psalm. And he ends up saying, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to His name, the Lord Most High. Look just across the page there. I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee, and I will sing praises, O Thou Most High. And he goes on and on. And look at verse 11. Sing praises to the Lord who dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people His doings. Now David says, let's sing praises. You know what it means to sing, don't you? Do you know you can go and practically... Well, I believe that I would be safe in saying that you can go into any home in Octavia Hill County, regardless of how cool, and there is something in that home whereby they can get to you. The place, if you can find one that doesn't have an instrument that doesn't have a box, music is the when a person trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that's going to be a song in their heart. Whole Psalms, just a minute, I'd like for you to turn to Acts chapter 6.
Now, who would you think would be the greatest Bible teacher?
Now, that's the description that secular history gives of Paul. He was not anything to look upon. You think your preacher's sort of ugly. Well, you ought to have seen Paul. His eyes were real close together. He had a long nose that sort of crooked on the end, hooked on the end. He was bow-legged, and they called him bird legs, I'm sure. He had little old spindly legs. You know, they were just about the small of my arm, I imagine, from the description that they give. And he had a high, squeaky voice, less hair than I have. Now, having a high, squeaky voice, I'm sure he couldn't sing very well. But this says in verse 5. And the prison cursed him. Our glorified God, our vocal cords are going to be free. You've had a singing lesson in your life. I know there are things that you can do to sing better. We have time to chapter 40. If you read in the verse 42, you might have got that one. Read in the chapter. He talks about the new temple in the millennium. He's going to have a tremendous power off that. He's going to have a huge power off that. They're going to sing. They're going to sing throughout eternity, through the millennium and throughout eternity. Well, Paul sang. David sang. He sang praises unto God. In chapter 9, verse 82, he says, sing praises unto the Lord, who dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doing. How? By singing praises. By opening your mouth and singing. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. Another psalm of David, he says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? He's singing forever. He asked the question, how long wilt thou hide thy face from me? David says to God, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? Now, David is a little bit down. Even though he's down, he's a song. How long shall thine enemies be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my ears say, I have prevailed against him. And those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Hear. David is down, and his enemies are up, and they are looking down on him, and they're saying, well, poor David, he's just about to go on. Let's kick him in. Pray for him if you can.
old days.
He says, I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he has dealt with me. Because of his past. Look again at chapter 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is benefiting the upright. Praise the Lord with the harp. This is a little instrument that David has. Sing unto him with psalms, with the psalms and the instrument of instrument. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud voice. What did David say? Lift up your voice and sing loud. Never yet. In fact, quite often in the Psalms and in the Word of God, it says to do it with blessing. Who to stop at? I'm sure that's not the kind of singing that I heard one time by accident. We were going to have a meeting out at the Armory. We needed a bunch of chairs, and so we had come back to the university to get some chairs on them. And they said, sure, you can have them, but we're going to have a concert tonight, or the night before you're going to have yours the next day. You'll have to wait till the concert over. And they were supposed to be over at 10, so we chose 10. And I got about a block or two away, sounded like I was right inside the building, and I thought, you could hear everything going on. They had blaring away. I don't remember what group it was, but it wasn't the kind of thing that I grew up on. And I'm glad I didn't grow up on it, too, by the way. Now, the time that I grew up on before I was saved was quite different from the time that I began to listen to after I was saved. You know, when I was first saved, some of the greatest things, or some of the greatest times that I had had with the Lord was. And at this camp that we had, we had a preacher. And it was a lot of trouble, but we had a record change. We had a lot of George W. Perry, and we had a lot of the white people, and we had a lot of good Christian music. And all afternoon, that PA system blared that music out over the country. Even that kid get away from it. Now, the music that they had wasn't nearly. Well, I say it wasn't nearly as bad as that that I heard that night. It was bad enough, but I'm talking about the secular music. But it wasn't nearly as bad. But it still didn't edify. But I can remember, even after leaving camp, after 5 or 6 weeks, those songs would keep ringing in my heart and my mind. And they would keep bringing my mind back to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I imagine every home here has a stereo. I don't know what kind of records you have for the stereo. Maybe you know, if we
act of God.
Didn't always live above him, and he lived as badly as anybody's ever grown. He would get back to these songs. He would sing these things. And I'm sure that he sang these things more than once, these songs over and over again. He says in verse 3 again, sing unto him a new song, play still with a loud noise. A loud noise unto the Lord. Chapter 40. And look at verse 1. I have waited patiently for thee, and found and he died unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, and out of the mire and set my feet on a rock, and satisfied my bones. And he put a new song in my mouth. And praise unto our God. Many shall see and see it and hear it, and shall trust the Lord. Blessed is that man who maketh the Lord his trust. Turn to chapter 96, verse 1. Psalms 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation. What's David saying? Sing a new song. A new song? What's a new song? Why a new song? We've got some old ones. David wrote some new ones. Anything wrong with writing new songs? Maybe that's just qualified David. You know, Martin Luther made this statement. He runs the devil out of his church. Did you know before the Reformation, back in the Dark Ages, the church had stifled the singing. They weren't able to sing. The people couldn't. And they didn't have a heart that could worship the Lord and to go out to Him. Just snuffed it out. And then all of a sudden they realized that they could fellowship with God. All of a sudden, they realized they didn't have to go through a man to get to God, but they could go directly to Him. And that God had revealed Himself to man in the Word of God, and they could go to the Word of God, and they could understand God, and they could know Him personally. And what did they begin to do? They began to sing. The psalm is always accompanied by an instrument. The hymn is just a song of praise. Not necessarily one way or the other. And then the song, the spiritual song, is that which is can be sung either way. And then notice the next thing. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Do you make melody to the Lord in your heart? Do you express yourself to the Lord? You know, we have some very talented people in our church. As far as music is concerned, they're very talented people. It's amazing. In fact, one night we were having a meeting out at our house, one of the Christmas deal or the homecoming deal or something, and a man from another church happened to be there. And
our people began to get up and sing, and they sang all kind of songs. And every time a different one would get up, his mouth would just drop open. I was sitting there by him, and he punched me after about 20 minutes, and he says, "I have never seen so much talent in all my life." He says, "I can't believe this. Your little church has all these people in there that can sing that well?" Or maybe they have something to sing about. Well, we should. We should. Sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. All of us should be. And those who can do it well can help those of us who aren't too proficient. Isn't that wonderful? That God has blessed us with people who can sing and can lead us. And when someone gets up here and sings a song or a hymn or a psalm, and maybe we can't follow them as far as keeping ourselves in tune with them, maybe our ear isn't very keen to catch it, but there still can be down in our heart singing. You know, when someone gets up to pray, do you know what you should be doing with that person? When someone is leading in prayer, you should be praying along with them. We should all be praying together, and the one who is leading is just leading the rest of us in prayer. And everybody should be praying together. Our mind should not be wandering. Our mind should not be on something else. It should be on what is being prayed so we can all pray together. That is the purpose of praying out loud. And the same thing is true with a song. We can make melody in our heart as someone is singing if we can't sing. When we are singing together as a congregation, we can be singing together. And we can lift our voice and sing. And if you're just a little bit down, maybe it will get your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ and off of the circumstances in your life, as it did David when he was down. And he was thinking about his enemy. And then he would begin to pluck his little old guitar. And he would begin to sing a little bit. And first thing you know, his mind got off of the enemy and he got on the Lord. And what would happen? Then he would remember how the Lord had delivered him from his sin and how he wasn't going to hell any longer and how he wasn't going to be separated from his God forever and ever and ever, but that he was going to be with him forever, and how that God had led him and God had protected him and God had delivered him out of Saul's hand over and over again, out of the Philistines' hand, and how that none of the enemy had really touched him, and that even though he was having to run, they couldn't catch up to him because God was leading him and God had put a wall around him and God had protected him. And you know, we get down in the mouth so often. And we get to thinking about how our circumstances are so terrible. And we get our eyes on ourselves. And we forget that poor man walking down the street that's on the way to hell. That man that doesn't know that if he died tonight, he would go to heaven. I talked to a man in the hospital in Jackson Friday, 88 years old. He came in the waiting room to cheer everybody up. He was going to have an operation the next day. No, it was Thursday, not Friday. Thursday night. And he was telling little jokes and saying cute little things. And very educated man. Had started a couple of business schools. And had everybody rolling. And I said, "Boy, this is a great time to witness for the Lord." He was sitting on a table, so I just got my little soiled brown paper sack over there. And I borrowed a pen from my wife. And I got up there beside him. And he kept talking about being a teacher. And I said, "You know, I'm sort of a teacher type." "No," he said, "you are." I said, "Yeah." "So let me teach you something." And guess what I tried to teach him?
Well, you know. Somebody got my pen. Well, I guess you'll have to do without it today. It's all right. Too late. Time's up. But I showed him how Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day to pay for sin. And when I drew that little cross with the arrow pointing up, and I said, "This represents Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection," his mouth dropped wide open. He almost froze. And I began to go into the gospel, and I explained it to him. Everybody around, you could have heard a pin drop. There must have been 12, 14 people in the room. In a few minutes, well, after about 30 minutes, he says, "You know, I need to really go dead. I've got to be operated on in the morning," so we let him go. We didn't chain him. And as soon as he walked out, one of the ladies said, "You know, he's a real smart and educated man. But he didn't know too much about the Bible, did he?" I miss my visiting privileges. Why? Because one poor fellow stayed behind. He knew I had some answers, and he wanted them. And I thought I wasn't going to get away from the hospital. You know. And you know, the woods are just full of those kind of people. Just full of them. And we need to be telling them. We need to be telling them. Next week, we're going to tell the little ones. Their hearts are tender. And they'll listen. I told you last week or 2 weeks ago about witnessing to a 90-something-year-old man. His heart was hard. He listened. I think he understood.
On the ground, down between that.
90-something years old. Understood Christ died for him, was buried and rose again. But he says there's a lot of things we don't understand. A lot of things we don't understand. This man, 88 years old, knew a lot about a lot of things. Very educated. Very successful in life. Financially. But didn't know for sure he's going to heaven. Next week, we're going to be dealing with a bunch of young people. Pray that they'll all understand the gospel. That they'll all trust Him as their Savior. Because as young people, their hearts are tender. They don't have as many doubts and fears and frustrations. They'll listen, and a lot of them will accept Christ. Pray for them. If you know of any that live close to you, see if they get here. Say, if we can't run buses, we can run cars. We'll do something. But between now and Monday or Tuesday, see how many we can get here that don't normally come to our church, that don't get to hear the love of Jesus Christ in primary and junior church. This will be like a revival meeting for them. Because they're going to give them the gospel every day. That's for sure. They'll hear about God's love. I guarantee you. You know, maybe you're here today. You never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, I want you to know that God loves you too. He does. He really and truly loves you. He loved you enough to die on the cross to pay for all your sin. Everything you ever have done or doing and ever will do. He did. That's right for you personally. He had you in mind when He was hanging there on the cross. Paying for your sin.
And if you'll turn to Him and trust Him as your Savior, you won't go to hell, but you'll go to heaven. He'll put a new kind of song in your heart. And He'll give you victory over the fear, the frustrations of life. He'll give you an inner peace, an inner happiness, as you learn to walk in the Spirit. But you can't have that without first being born of God.